I want to talk to you just for, you know, I said that last week. I'll speak to you for 15 minutes. I looked at the tape later. It was something like 29. So let me just say for a few moments this evening about a time in history when the nation was in a mess. I think it somewhat parallels the time that we're in. You don't have to be a social scientist to realize that America is in a mess today. We're in a mess as a society. We're spiraling down. We're in confusion. There is the high possibility of even deepening divisions in our midst. And there are reasons why this happened. Daniel was a godly man in the midst of this mess of his society, of his day, many, many years ago. And he wrote some words in a book that is called by his name. It's in the Old Testament. It's called the Book of Daniel. And in chapter 9 of Daniel, he began to pray a specific prayer. And in verse 5, it was just this. He said, "We have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and judgments." Let me explain that to you. He basically said, "God, you gave us borders and you gave us boundaries to live by. And we chose in our arrogance to disregard those boundaries. And we threw away your words. We were even so bold and brazen as to throw you out of our schools and courts and out of much of our society." Like, history does repeat itself. In Daniel's day, they took the word of God and they just simply, Isaiah the prophet said, they threw his word into the streets and trampled upon it and considered it worth nothing and didn't think there would be any consequences to it till they found themselves in an absolute mess and captivated by their enemies. Verse 6, he says, "Neither did we hearken to your servants, the prophets, which spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land." In other words, Daniel said, "God, you weren't short of voices that spoke to us, but we didn't listen. We willfully disregarded them. We found them old-fashioned, restrictive, out of touch, good for 1 hour on Sunday, but not really anything that we should take and apply to our lives. And so, essentially, we disregarded them," Daniel said. We were warned, we were spoken to. Even our leaders were spoken to, and those that govern us and those that are supposed to be over us in all forms of authority, to all the people of the land, and we made the choice to throw away your words. In verse 7, he said, "O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us confusion of face, as at this day, to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries where you've driven us, because of their trespasses that they've trespassed against you." And he basically said, because of what we've done, because we've disregarded your word, we've cast away those that, whether they warned us to be afraid or they tried with the love of God, no matter how they called to us, we wouldn't listen to them. We disregarded them, and because of it, we are confused and we're scattered all over the place. Our unity is lost. We're directionless as a people, and we seem to be captivated by all of the things that once in this nation, in the nation of Israel at this time, that they knew were wrong, but now they were captivated by these things. The very things that they should have shunned had become their masters. And yet, Daniel said, "But I see in your word the promise of freedom." He said in verse 2, he said, it was in the first year of the reign of a certain king. He said, "I, Daniel, understood by books," that means by the word of God. Actually, he was reading the books, the word of Jeremiah, God through Jeremiah. "I understood the number of years where God said this captivity would come to an end." And Daniel was saying, "Lord, I've been reading your word," or "I'm in a place," maybe I'd been in meetings similar to this tonight, and heard something that stirred him. And said, "God, I hear something that, yes, I have," and Daniel's speaking on behalf of the people, although he was a righteous man, but let me transpose that to people who are here tonight. And you might be among those who say, "Yes, God, I have sinned by disregarding your word. I knew better when I was young. I was raised in a family that taught me right and wrong. I was taken at least marginally to church and taught something about the ways of God, but I chose to disregard those who spoke for you. I didn't listen to those who taught me in my youth or maybe in my teenage years. And today I'm captivated and I'm confused and I'm scattered and I don't know how I'm going to ever find a way out. And it seems like everything I ever longed for has been taken away from me. But tonight I understand again by the words that I've heard, words which I believe are coming from the heart of God, that there is an end coming to my captivity. And that's where it begins. That's where a living relationship with God begins, with a spark in the heart. That's all it is sometimes. A whisper in your ear. A little bit of light in your mind in the midst of all the darkness. A little bit of hope in the midst of your despair. Something that comes from God that says, listen to me on this. If you give heed to my word, and if you take seriously what I speak to you, your captivity can soon come to an end. And something miraculous can begin in your life. And of course, for these people, what happened to them is suddenly a completely heathen king writes a law and says everybody who wants to go home to the promised land can go. And not only can you go, but I'll give you protection to get there. I'll give you materials when you get there to build. And it's the type of God saying, I know you deserve to be in captivity, and I know you know that it was because of your disregard and because you're refusing to speak, to listen to those who spoke to you. But now I'm telling you, in writing, the one thing I see in this book above everything that's written is that you can get up and go home. You can go back to everything that God intended your life to be. No matter where you ended up or how many things have captivated your thoughts and your heart and your mind. Daniel said in verse 9, he said, Lord God, to you belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Daniel said, I see mercy. I hear mercy. I see forgiveness. I see the putting away of my record of wrong. I see an erasing of my injurious past and all the memories that I'm dragging along like a dead horse behind me that I can't seem to get rid of. In verse 17, he says, now, Lord, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and cause your face to shine upon this emptiness for your name's sake. It's the cry of a heart that's of somebody sitting here tonight, says, God, I ask you for your name's sake. I can't bring to you any goodness. I can't bring to you a record of obedience. I can't bring to you a life that is holy. I'm a mess and I'm captivated, but for your name's sake, because I understand that you are the God of mercy. I understand that you came to this earth 2,000 years ago and became a man and walked among us. And the Bible says that you were touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. The Bible says that you took all of my struggle and all my pain, all my faults, and all my wrong, and on yourself, you nailed them to a cross. The Bible says that every list of wrong that I had done, when your blood dripped on the ground, it blotted it out. And it was as if I had never sinned in my life. The Bible says that I was set free when you rose from the dead and you took my captivity captive and gave me gifts so that I could go home and rebuild and that my life could become everything that you've ever intended my life to be. And you did it not because I deserve it, but because you are a merciful God. You did it because you love me. Because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said, I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. I see mercy. I see forgiveness. And he went on to say these words, O God, incline your ear and hear me, and open your eyes and see our desolation, see my trial, my trouble. I don't present my supplications before you because I am a good person or for my righteousness, but for your great mercies. I know tonight, there are people here who could say, I know, I can say it too, that I can't stand before you, God, except that you are merciful. There's no other way I could approach you. And if I thought I was good, it's also written in your word that all of my good deeds are no better than filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. These things cannot grant me access to eternal life that God freely offers me through his Son. Therefore, I don't come with arrogance and I don't come to offer anything of myself to you but an open heart that says, if you decide to be merciful to me, O God, then my heart is open for your mercy. He said, O Lord, hear me, forgive, and don't wait. For your own sake, O God, and for everyone who wants to be or is called by your name. Oh God, it has to be in your heart tonight if you're living apart from Christ. Oh God, is it possible that it could be tonight? Is it possible that tonight is the night that my life could be changed? Is it possible tonight I could be forgiven? Could it be tonight that the prison door opens? That the wounds in my heart are healed? That the blindness of my eyes gives way to a vision that only you can give? Is it possible that my past could be, the power of my past could be destroyed and my future could be rewritten? Oh God, is it possible? And he says, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and presenting my prayer before the Lord God, while I was speaking in prayer, you see, that even implies a cry of the heart that no one around you can hear, but God can hear it. God knows the thoughts of God knows what you're saying. Maybe you can't form it with your mouth. You've never vocalized it to anybody, but God knows what that sigh is when you're walking down the street. God knows what that means. That inner longing for something you've always known you were created for, but you just don't know how to find it. Something you always felt that your life was supposed to be and amount to, but it has just fallen through your fingers like sand. And tonight, like Daniel, you begin to pray and say, oh God, while I'm praying, while I'm asking you for mercy and presenting my supplication before you. And then Daniel says, while I was speaking in prayer, while I was still speaking, his prayer wasn't finished. He didn't have time to get to the end of his prayer before God answered it. You read it for yourself in Daniel 9, chapter 9, verse 21. He said, while I was speaking, while I was still praying, while I was still longing, I hadn't come to the end of my prayer. I hadn't finished my petition. I hadn't gotten to the depths of everything I felt that I should say. While I was praying, God sent an angel to me. That's what he did. Gabriel was a messenger. It says he touched me. And interesting, it says about the time of the evening oblation. In our case, it would be around the time of the evening service. He touched me, and he informed me, and he talked with me. In other words, the word of God through a messenger came alive in my heart and said, oh, Daniel, I am now come to you to give you skill and understanding. At the beginning of your prayer, the commandment came forth, and I am here to show you what you need to see, for you are greatly beloved of God. When I first heard that sigh in your heart, God says, I came to you. Because I've always loved you. I've always wanted you. I died for you to get you back to myself again. And the moment you turned to me, I heard you. And I commanded the word to come to you. You see, you're not here by accident tonight. God brought you here, and God has commanded the testimonies. He has commanded. He gave me this word that I'm speaking to you in between the 5 o'clock and 6 o'clock service. He put this on my heart to share with you tonight, knowing you were here, knowing there was a cry in your heart, knowing you have nothing to present to God, knowing that you've been living in captivity, knowing you don't see any way out, knowing you've made a mess, and generally speaking, you're the cause of your own mess, and you know it. But knowing all of this, the Lord said, I hear something. I heard it on the subway when he was on the way here, when she was on the way down the street. I heard the sigh, and I gave you the word. I give you the word for them. And he said, I've come to touch you and I've come to give you skill and understanding. I've come to give you abilities that you don't have in yourself. I've come to give that to you. And I've come to give you understanding about the ways of God, the word of God, the purpose of God, the wonders of God. The glory of God, everything about God. I've come to give you skill and I've come to give you understanding. And I've come to show you because I love you. Amazing. The longer I live, the more all of I've learned in the Bible comes down to this one theological truth. That's quite all right. This lady's, God's touched her. It's okay. It comes down to this one theological truth. Jesus loves me, this I know. I was speaking to a man who's much superior to me in knowledge this week, and I said to him, you know that we stand, the mercy of God astounds me. We stand and open this book and we make our bold declarations about our knowledge of the character and the wondrousness of God. We're like fleas trying to describe a computer. But yet God in his mercy gives us the revelation that he loves us. In spite of our deficiency and our foolishness, he loves us. He died for us. He wants us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to partner with us. If that doesn't make you explode inside, I don't know what else ever will. I came to you because I love you. So what's my response? What do I do with this? Well, you have to do what the children of Israel did in Daniel's day. They got up and went home. You have to get up and come home. You're invited to come home, and he says, I'll forgive you. I'll give you skill. I'll give you understanding. I'll forgive your sin. If you truly want to walk away from your sin, I will forgive your sin. I will send you instructors. I'll teach you from the Word of God and show you what life really is all about. I'll take away your confusion and your tragedy of your life and your scatteredness, and I will rewrite your future. I will give you a new song. The Bible says I'll give you stability. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new mind. I'll give you a new spirit. I'll change you from the inside out. You'll be so radically changed, actually, that your greatest testimony will be, as I said tonight, Jesus loves me. This I know. He didn't come to me when I was strong. He didn't come to me when I had it all together. He didn't come to me when I could present anything to him. He came to me when I was a total mess. Came to me when I was captivated. He came to me when my mind was dark. He came to me when my family was destroyed. He came to me when I was addicted. He came to me when I was confused and scattered. He came to me when I was speaking things I shouldn't speak. And in spite of all that, all I had on the plus side was a sigh. Amen. And just a simple, you know, if you added the two, the scale is like this. Evil just so outweighs anything good in me. And all that I had that was good was just a whisper of a sigh. God, if you're out there, please help me. And suddenly, the scale tips. And that simple sigh of the heart is all that God was ever looking for, because he knows we can't ever get home in our own strength. And all he asks us to do is just get up and come home. It's no deeper than that. People try to make it more complicated, but it really isn't. Just get up and come home. Confess that you've sinned against God. Realize that living in rebellion against God is not the way to live. Have in your heart a desire to turn from that lifestyle and to understand and believe that Jesus died to pay the price for the wrong that you have done. And open your heart to receive him as Lord and Savior. And then he says, I will give you skill and understanding. And you will know the depths of my love. You'll have a song. You'll have a future. You'll have a vision. Life may still be hard, but you'll still have these things within you. You'll have a purpose and meaning for life. And when it's all over, you have the assurance of heaven when you die. Forever and ever and ever and ever. On my part, I have to get up and come home. And that's the invitation that God gives to you tonight. It's the same invitation God gave to the people in Daniel's day. I wrote the decree, but you have to come home. I wrote a law that said you could be free, but you have to get up and walk into freedom. I'll make you free, but you have to move towards that freedom. All of the promises in this book are mine and yours, but we have to get up and possess them. They're free. We simply have to get up and come home. I don't know who's here tonight who can hear this, but I want you to know that God gave me this tonight for somebody here, and I know that in my heart. And you know it in your heart because you had that sigh, and you said, oh, there's no way this preacher could know this. God had to speak to him because he just preached my week. He just shared my thoughts as if I'd written them down on a piece of paper and handed them to him. It's as if God chose to speak to me tonight through a messenger because he heard my cry. The good news is that you can come home. You can. Because of the cross of Jesus Christ, you can come home. You can be free. You can rebuild. You can have a new life. You can have a testimony. If that's you tonight, and you want to open your heart to Jesus Christ, would you please unashamedly raise your hand right now, wherever you are. God bless you. Thank you. Up in the balcony. Now, I'm going to give you a chance to do something physically as an expression. I'm going to invite you to the front of this auditorium. There's nothing magical about this. It's a physical expression of the decision you've just made. You're getting up and going forward. In the day of Daniel, there had to be a certain measure of people that simply got up and went home. No matter who didn't go, they did. They said, God's given us an opportunity for a new life. We're going to take it. Whether or not the person beside me does, I'm going to. I believe this is true. And I'm not going to be sold short in this life when God has promised me this kind of a future. And for those who raised your hand, we're going to stand in just a moment, and I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat and join me here at the front of this auditorium. And when we do stand, I'd like everybody here to turn to the person beside you and talk to that person, whether you know them or not, and say, listen, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have not surrendered your life to him, if you don't know him in this kind of living relationship we're hearing about tonight, and you want to go to that altar but you're scared to do that, I'll go with you so that you don't have to go alone. And so let's stand and let's do that right now. Everybody who raised your hand, slip out. Everybody else, please ask your neighbor and then start to come. Just make your way, balcony to either exit, educational annex, make your way over. Join these that are coming now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Don't be shy. Just step out. Just come. There's many coming. Just join those that are coming. Give your life to Jesus tonight. Come home. Come home to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The invitation is open for everybody that wants to come home to God. It's a marvelous decision you'd be making tonight. If there's even one more person, we'll just wait for a moment. We'll sing that one more time, and as we do, if there's even one more person, it's worth the wait just for you. Jesus. You know that God speaks to you when your heart is pounding, your palms are sweating. You've never quite felt like this before. And you know, you can feel God calling you, and you don't know how to handle it. Just don't fight it. Just slip out and come. Come home to Christ. The Bible says that angels in heaven are rejoicing over the decision that you're making tonight. And they're rejoicing tonight because they know how much God loves you. And they know this is the thing that preoccupies the heart of God. He created you in His image and for Himself, not just for here in time, but forever. And we lost that relationship because we disobeyed God and started committing things that were wrong in the sight of God. And that fellowship was broken. And He waits and has waited and whispers and speaks and draws. And finally, you're here tonight. And the angels look down and they see you. It's not because there's a lot of people. If it was only one person, the angels look down and suddenly there's an uproarious shout in the kingdom of heaven because you have come here to give your life to Jesus Christ. That is the work of heaven. That's what heaven is all about right at the moment. There's one day coming when it will be about ruling and reigning and mansions and indescribable glory. But till that day comes, it's right now about you coming home because God loves you. I want to encourage you to pray this simple prayer with me and make it your own. And if you truly, truly mean this prayer, then you will start to walk with God. You'll make that journey home, in a sense. And trust Him. He said, I'll give you skill and understanding. And at the top of all of that, there will be a capstone of understanding the depth of my love for you. And you must never let anything take that away from you. God loves you. You'll struggle. It will take a while. You might take a wrong turn in the road, but He has a GPS better than anything this world has to offer. And He will recalibrate you and get you back on the right track again. And He'll pick you up when you fall. He'll be a friend that doesn't walk away from you. He's not going to abandon you because you struggle. So don't let the devil tell you that you had a day to get this right and you blew it. Don't fall into that lie. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will not cast you away. That's what He said. I will not cast you away. And He said, when you come to me, I seal you in my Father's hand, and nobody can take you out of my Father's hand. Nobody. Pray this simple prayer with me, please, if you will. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me in spite of the mess of my life. You came and died for me and took the price and the penalty of all the wrong I've done. And tonight you promise me that if I ask you to, you will forgive me and cleanse me and receive me as your own. You will call me your child from this day forward. You will walk with me and help me and change me. And when I die, heaven will be my home. Jesus Christ, Son of God, tonight I open my life to you and I invite you into the center of my life to be my Lord and my God. Speak to me and I will follow you. I open my hands to you and I ask you to lead me for the rest of my life. Thank you for your mercy, your willingness to walk with me in spite of what I've done. I believe tonight that I am a child of God. You are receiving me as your very own. Lord, you love me, and you will walk with me as I walk with you. From this day forward, I believe that Jesus, you are mine, and I am yours. And that makes me a child of God. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's give God a shout of praise in this house. Can we do that? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let me pray for you, please. There's a lot of celebrating going on. Hallelujah. Been a long way getting here, hasn't it? Praise God. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray for these precious men and women who are at this altar tonight. God, seal this decision. Don't let it be taken away. Don't let them let it slide through their fingers. Seal it. Let it be for the rest of their lives. Give them understanding from your word. Protect them from the lies of their enemies. And keep them as your own children. Do something so profound in each of these lives that a year from now they're not going to believe. It's going to be hard to believe the kind of person they've become. Give them a song, Lord, that the people outside of God don't understand the joy. And I thank you for it, Lord. Protect them and keep them from the evil one. Don't let one of these be stolen, God, from your hand, or walk away from here and fall prey to the lie that would be waiting for them on the subway, that this was all just emotion, it wasn't real. Oh, no, no, no. This is more real than the air we breathe. This is more real than the house we stand in tonight. And Father, I thank you for this from the depths of my heart, and I praise you in Jesus' name.